September 11th. That's the day the White House has chosen to release its progress report on Iraq. The date was pushed up from September 15th. Well, this past Sunday, another assessment was printed in the New York Times opinion section. It was written by seven soldiers just finishing up their deployment in Iraq. Six of the seven are sergeants. And here's the gist of it. They write at the beginning of their op-ed piece, "To believe that Americans, with an occupying force that long ago outlived its reluctant welcome, can win over a recalcitrant local population and win this counterinsurgency is far-fetched." Slate.com's Philip Carter joins us now. He's a lawyer and former Army officer who has served in Iraq. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Madeline.
Well, what did you think of their assessment? It was a very strong and opinionated assessment that we are not doing well in Iraq and that we should get out.
I thought it was an extraordinary commentary. What made it so special is that these soldiers reported their on-the-ground personal experience, but then generalized from that experience to arrive at some extremely insightful and, I think, intelligent conclusions about the war.
And specifically, what about it really captured you and you thought to yourself as you read it, wow, that really rings true?
The best point, I think, was that we look at the events in Iraq through American eyes. And the soldiers write that we really need to judge them through Iraqi eyes because this kind of war depends on the support of the Iraqi people, their acquiescence to the Iraqi government, and whether we succeed or not, whether we patrol or not, whether we get killed or not, is almost irrelevant to success at the end of the day.
And they write that the Americans have failed in one particular arena and failed pretty miserably, and that is developing the economic infrastructure, sort of the non-military side of winning over the hearts and minds.
And I think one of the implied messages here is that these soldiers feel like they've been stuck out there to do their job as soldiers, but the rest of the U.S. government, the folks from the Treasury Department and the Justice Department and the Agriculture Department, aren't there alongside them. And so they may have developed the Iraqi army and done the military piece of the effort, but there's no one over there working on the political or the economic piece.
And they also, from the military side, had a particularly gloomy take on Americans' supposed partners in this. This is the Iraqi army. They write, "Reports that a majority of Iraqi army commanders are now reliable partners can be considered only misleading rhetoric. The truth is that battalion commanders, even if well-meaning, have little to no influence over the thousands of obstinate men under them in an incoherent chain of command who are really loyal only to their militias." Did you find that when you were over there?
The uneven reliability of the army and police is one of the biggest problems I dealt with. And I think that it is probably true throughout the country. Of course, these soldiers are talking about their experience. And then they back this up with an anecdote about a soldier who was the victim of an IED planted right near an Iraqi checkpoint.
Right. It was between a police checkpoint and an army checkpoint. Right.
Right. So one or both were corrupt or working for the other side.
So how unusual is it for an op-ed like this to be published in the middle of a war in the nation's, arguably the nation's leading newspaper, by soldiers still serving?
It's very unusual. I can't think of another case where active duty personnel have written something so powerful and so critical. There was an Army captain who wrote something similar from Bakuba a few years ago, and the Army really came down on him like a ton of bricks. The general guidance to those in the ranks is write what your career can stand. And in an all-volunteer force, the professionals in that force, the officers and the sergeants, typically don't write commentaries like this.
Because otherwise their careers are over?
That's right. The tradition in the military has been to allow soldiers in the lower ranks to gripe and to lament their conditions as much as they choose to. In fact, in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the rule against contemptuous words towards the president and other civilian leaders only applies to officers. One of the subtle messages here is that these soldiers maybe don't think their voice is being heard by those who've been home, don't think their voice is being heard by the generals in Baghdad or in Washington, and they really want to provide a vision of the ground truth for them that is probably not getting up the chain of command from where they stand.
So we can expect no punishment for this op-ed, or what kind of reaction can we expect from their bosses?
Well, the military chain of command so far seems pretty supportive. They issued a statement yesterday saying that they are an example of the intelligence and the grit that we find in the ranks, and provided they don't breach operational security or break Army regulations, they're allowed to write what they choose. I think behind closed doors, they're both getting pats on the back from the officers that sympathize with them and maybe a few stern talkings to by officers and sergeants who disagree with them or think that they should have kept this in-house.
Slate's Philip Carter, a former Army captain who served in Iraq. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Madeline.